I'd like for us to consider this morning that text in John 19 and verse 30, where the Lord Jesus says, "It is finished," this great cry of victory. And in that passage, as we read it together, we saw the suffering and the tragedy of the cross and the heartache and all that is there. And it seems such a picture of despair, and yet out of that comes this wonderful triumph. And in the darkness of Calvary, passing the bright splendor of a heavenly mission accomplished is realized. The whole purpose of why Jesus came, the completion of the work that his Father had given him to do, the ground of our hope and our salvation is encompassed in that wonderful cry from the cross, "It is finished." You know, in the original language, it is just one word. And in that one word, it is the whole sum of the gospel, the whole sum of the believer's confidence and hope. And as I've said already, it wasn't the final word of a helpless martyr or the fading sigh of a life that was just inevitably expiring. It was a cry that resounded through the ages. You know, the Redeemer had done that work, redeemed his people. The price had been paid, the demands of the law had been met. And there at Calvary, we have the greatest display of the glory and the attributes of God set forth, redemption accomplished. But what was finished? What does that mean? What was bound up in that cry? Well, some have argued that the meaning is restricted solely to the fulfillment of those prophecies concerning the Messiah and his suffering. Now, that is a key part of what is being said, but it goes beyond that. And one of the main reasons why we must never just confine the expression just to the fulfillment of prophecy is because it seems that Christ referred specially to this sacrificial work that he was doing. For all scripture that it was concerning his suffering and shame wasn't in fact fulfilled at that point. You see, there still remained the dismissal of his spirit into the hands of the Father to fulfill Psalm 31. There still needed to be the piercing of his side with a spear to fulfill Zechariah 12. There still remained the preserving of his bones unbroken to fulfill Psalm 34. He still needed to be buried in the rich man's grave, Isaiah 53, as we read. And yes, the prophecies were fulfilled in entirety. All that remained would be done. But this is the declaration that sacrificial work, that redeeming work, that saving work was done and forever done. He would give himself to death, which was essential in the making of atonement. But the Lord speaks here in the anticipation of the completion of his work. The 3 hours of darkness were already past. The cup of wrath had been drunk in full measure. The wrath of God had been endured. His precious blood had been shed. Those were the key elements for him to make propitiation. The sacrificial work of the Savior, what Jesus came to do, was completed. And all that was left was for him to give his life and hand over his spirit, as it were, into the hands of the Father. And so in the completing of this sacrificial work, what was finished? And so let me bring some things out. Well, as we said, all the prophecies concerning his life and the manner of his death were finished. You know, centuries before, hundreds of years before, the prophets of God had described step by step the humiliation and the suffering which the coming Savior would endure. And one by one, these had been incredibly and perfectly fulfilled. So prophecy declared that he would be of the woman's seed, Genesis 3. And he was born of a woman, Galatians 4. His mother should be a virgin, Isaiah 7. And so Mary was in Matthew 1. He should be of the seed of Abraham in Genesis 22. And so he was, Matthew 1. He should be a descendant of David, 2 Samuel 7. And so he was, Romans 1. He should be named before he was born, Isaiah 49. And so it came to pass, Luke 1. He should be born in Bethlehem of Judea, Micah 5. And how it was his birthplace, you can read it in the Gospels. All the way through his life, it was prophesied that he would entail sorrow and suffering for others, Jeremiah 31. All was fulfilled. He was forced into exile in Egypt before he returned into Palestine. Hosea 11, Isaiah 49. And so it was. Prophecy declared that there would be one who would go before the Lord Jesus Christ to prepare the way in Malachi 3. And what do we see John the Baptist doing? Behold the Lamb, that when Messiah came, blind eyes would be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, the lame leaping and the mute singing, Isaiah 35. Read the Gospels and see all those things there and more. Psalm 40, he would be poor and needy. He would have nowhere to lay his head. Psalm 78 declared that he would speak in parables, as are frequently the manner of his teaching. Psalm 107 saw the stilling of the storm. Jesus spoke, and the winds and the waves ceased. Zechariah spoke of how he would enter into Jerusalem, how the crowds would cheer him in that climactic week. Hosanna! Isaiah said that he would be despised and rejected. Psalm 69 said that he would be hated without a cause. The Old Testament prophesied in great detail his humiliation, his crucifixion, from the betrayal by a familiar friend, being forsaken by his disciples, being led as a lamb to the slaughter, being taken to judgment, false witnesses appearing against him, his silence before his accusers, the clarity of his innocence, unjust condemnation, the sentence of capital punishment passed upon him, the piercing of his hands and feet, him being numbered with the transgressors, the mockery of the crowd, the casting of lots for his garments, all predicted, all prophesied, and all fulfilled centuries later in perfection. And the final prophecy before he gave up his spirit, committing his spirit to the hands of his Father, was now accomplished. I thirst. And as the Lord Jesus reviews the entire scope of the prophetic word concerning him and saw its full realization, he cried out, "It is finished. It is done." And just as the prophecies concerning his first coming were accomplished, those that speak of his second coming will also be accomplished, dear friends. There is certainty in that. So it is finished. All the prophecies concerning his life and manner of his death were finished. But all his suffering was finished. Who can fathom the depths of suffering that Jesus, the Savior, endured? Never a man suffered like him, such anguish, such physical and mental and spiritual suffering which he faced. See there at Calvary, the man of sorrows. Do you know, even in his earlier years, he had understanding of what lay before him. He knew that he was going to the cross. Psalm 88, 15, I have been afflicted and ready to die from my youth. You know, in our own lives, friends, we don't know what tomorrow may bring, but the Savior knew. He knew the end from the beginning. The cross was ever before him. In fact, if you read through John's Gospel, that's evident. His hour had not yet come. When Nicodemus came to him, he spoke of how there would be the lifting up of the Son of Man. When James and John were arguing about securing for themselves a place of honor in the coming kingdom, he spoke of the cup that he had to drink, the baptism with which he had to be baptized. When Peter was given to confess him as the Christ, the Son of the living God, he began to teach them. He had to go to Jerusalem. He had to suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. When Moses and Elijah stood with him on the Mount of Transfiguration, his death at Jerusalem was the subject of their conversation. And then how much more is suffering when he actually gave himself to the death of the cross? The physical horror is appalling enough, but it was as nothing in comparison with the suffering he endured in his soul. What love and gratitude and devotion this should draw from our hearts this morning. And in those final hours, there have been the deep experiences in Gethsemane. Then the sham trials before Herod and Pilate. He had been scourged and beaten and mocked and spat upon. He had staggered to the place of execution where they fastened and nailed his hands and his feet to the cruel cross. The priests and the crowd, even the criminals alongside him, had reviled him. He had been shrouded in darkness as the full realization of being forsaken by his father was felt. He had overcome the raging conflict with the powers of darkness and Satan himself as the serpent bruised his heel. As Lamentations 1:12 says, "Is it nothing to you? All you who pass by, behold and see if there is any sorrow like my sorrow which has been brought on me, which the Lord has inflicted in the day of his fierce anger." But here, when he says it is finished, the suffering has ended. As one says, the Lord has bruised him. Man and devil have done their worst. The cup has been drained. The storm of God's wrath has spent itself. The darkness is ended. The sword of divine justice is sheathed. The wages of sin have been paid. The prophecies are all fulfilled. The cross has been endured. Divine holiness has been satisfied. And with a cry of triumph, a loud cry, a cry which reverberates through the universe, the Savior exclaims, "It is finished." And the shame and the suffering and the agony are past. And never again would he experience pain. Never again would he endure the contradiction of sinners against himself. Never again would be in the hands of Satan. Never again should the light of God's countenance be hidden from him. Blessed be God, all that is finished. It is done. The purpose of his coming was finished. The Father had given him that work to do, and he had set his face to do it, pronounced at his birth, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people through from their sins." In view, throughout his earthly ministry, he always said, "The works which the Father has given me to finish, those works I do." He declared the night before his death in that wonderful high priestly prayer in John 17, "I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work you have given me to do." This work, this divine mission given to the Son by the Father was now accomplished. A work more honorable and momentous than ever entrusted to man or angels ever before had been completed. That for which he had left heaven to do, the plan of God fully carried out. Acts 2:23, "Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. And though the great and mighty of this world had raged against the Lord, against his Christ, they only served to action what God purposed to be done." Isaiah 46, "I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure." And as Jesus cried out, "It is finished," we have that prophecy and pledge of the ultimate carrying out of God's plan totally and utterly, even to the consummation of all things. It is finished. And the atonement was finished. The scriptures explain that Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We're told that he was manifested to take away our sins. And this act of salvation was bound up in the Savior's work on the cross. You see, sinners are lost. And they can only be saved by one taking the place that they deserve, taking the condemnation that they deserve, bearing the sin which condemns them. Sinners condemned under the law could only be redeemed by the paying of the price to fulfill the requirements of the law. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And to deal with sin, nothing but the precious blood of Jesus Christ could atone and blot out sin forever. The demands of justice had to be met. The requirements of a holy God had to be satisfied. The awful debt that we incurred must be paid. And it was there at Calvary that Jesus did it in full for all those who would trust in him. And all the Old Testament types and shadows look to this ultimate act upon Calvary. All the purpose of the Old Testament tabernacle, all its detail and its ceremonial rituals, all the ways in which the prophets had spoken, now accomplished and fulfilled. as one has said, a covering from sin and its shame, typified by the coats of skin with which the Lord clothed our first parents, now provided. The more excellent sacrifice, typified by Abel's lamb, had now been offered. A shelter from the storm of divine judgment, typified by the ark of Noah, was now furnished. The only begotten and well-beloved son, typified by Abraham's offering of Isaac, had already been placed on the altar. A protection from the avenging angel, typified by the shed blood of the Passover lamb, now supplied. A cure from the serpent's bite, typified by the serpent of brass upon the pole, now made ready for sinners. The providing of a life-giving fountain, typified by Moses striking the rock, now effected. It is finished. Literally, it is made an end of, it is paid, it is performed, it is accomplished. What was made an end of? Our sins, our guilt. The utmost requirements of the law have been performed. What was accomplished? The work which the Father had given him to do. What was finished? The making of atonement. And see the divine proof that heaven was satisfied with this most wonderful sacrifice as the veil was torn from top to bottom in the temple. And the way into the presence of God was now open, that Christ would be raised from the dead, vindicated and accepted, and Christ the victor exalted to the right hand of God, heaven rejoicing to welcome the mighty conqueror. And the Holy Spirit is sent to apply the virtues and benefits of Jesus' saving work to you and me. And what does that mean for me if we trust in Jesus? All that a holy God requires has been done. There is nothing left for the sinner to add. No works from us are demanded as the price of our salvation. All that is necessary for you to be saved is done. And you need to rest by faith upon what Jesus has done. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And to the believer, the knowledge that the atoning work of Jesus Christ is finished is such a sweet blessing against all our defects and our stumblings and our imperfections in our lives and service. We are complete in Jesus Christ. Christ and his finished work is the ground of all our hope, and our sin has been dealt with. The sin of the believer, all of them, has been transferred to the Savior. Isaiah 53:6, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And if my sin has been laid on Christ and he has dealt with it at Calvary, then they are no longer laid on me. And of course, we know that sin remains in the believer. The old nature is still there until death. But my sin, the guilt of my sin, has been dealt with at Calvary. And through the atoning work of Jesus, I am released from the power of sin. You know, if you're outside of Christ this morning, the judgment and condemnation of God still rests on you. And you are under the sentence of death. But when a sinner believes in Jesus, comes in repentance and faith, trusts in the life and work, the shed blood, such a one is no longer under condemnation. The penalty of sin is no longer upon them because Christ bore our sin in his own body on the tree. The sins have been laid on Christ. They are dealt with. They are gone forever. And we are accepted with God. All the law's requirements have been met. You know, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Christ, the Creator who finished creation, has perfected redemption. God can ask no more. The law has received all its claims. The largest extent of justice cannot demand another hour's obedience. It is done. It is complete. Christ has paid the debt which all the torments of eternity could never have paid. The law's requirements have been met. And sin has been dealt with. And as we finished, the threat of Satan and his power is finished too. The cross sounded the death knell of the devil's power. In the darkness of Calvary, Satan thought that he had overcome the Savior. but it was the hour of his ultimate defeat. The sentence has been passed. He is a defeated foe. His end is certain. And for believers, the power and hold of Satan over them is broken. For the Christian, the devil is a defeated foe. Hebrews 2:14, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. We have been delivered from the power of darkness, drawn into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Christ has freed us from captivity. We are set at liberty. Once we walked according to the prince of the power of the air, yet now we follow after our captain of salvation. And the Christian has this promise, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Dear believer, if you are here this morning and maybe you're in a position where you're filled with doubts and fears, you hear this word again, it is finished. It is done. Maybe you're here and you fear and you think, well, I believe today, but maybe that belief's going to disappear tomorrow. Maybe you've got a vague hope that God will accept you if you try and press on and do certain things, but you forget that the way of acceptance is finished. It is done. God doesn't accept you because of anything you do or feel, but simply because of what Christ has done. His finished work and that saving work is done. And you may say, well, I feel so low and I see only my stumbling and my sin. But what of that? God doesn't look on those things. He's washed them in the blood. He covers you with the righteousness of Christ. He sees them not to lay them to your charge, but to take them away. And maybe you say, well, I cannot be what I would be. But God doesn't look at you as you are in your fallen state. For the believer, he sees you as you are in Christ. I wonder if you really believe that. Are you trying to add something of your own to this finished work of Jesus, to secure God's favor? You see, all you have to do is to accept this pardon which he purchased. God is satisfied with the work of his Son. Why would we not be? Why would we seek to add to it? And dear sinner, the moment you believe God's testimony concerning his beloved Son, that moment every sin you have committed is blotted out and you stand accepted in Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful position to be in. Would you not like to know that every sin has been atoned for and put away? Then believe what God's word says about the death of Jesus. Don't rest on your feelings and experiences, but on the written word of God. There is only one way of finding peace, and that is through faith in the shed blood of the Lamb of God. And that's why this morning we rejoice that the redeeming work of Jesus is a finished work. That he said, it is finished. Because that alone is the ground of our hope for time and for eternity. And I pray that it's your hope that you would look nowhere else but to him, knowing that this Jesus has done all things well, the only Saviour of sinners. Amen.